Who says Presbyterians aren't cool? The bongo drive.
Wait till Christmas Eve.
There's a teaser there. We know how to have fun, man. We got the bongos, we got the little stick thing.
The little stick thing.
I don't know what it's called.
Cloudy.
I still don't know what it's called. Cloud bag or something.
Claw bag.
Claw bag. Okay. Well, whatever. Stick thing is easier. That was a nice song. And I should have said this earlier in announcements, but if you're watching online, you're missing the amazing beauty of our church this morning. And with all the poinsettias, or do you say poinsettia?
Yes.
Like clavinet or something.
Take your pick.
Yeah. And the poinsettias, and thank you to everyone who donated a poinsettia. And the beauty of that is really amazing, and thank you for that. Our first reading this morning is from Samuel, 2 Samuel, 7th chapter, verses 1 to 11. And then the preacher probably figures there's some tough words in 12 to 15, and then we skip to 16, so that's good. But it's on page 269, it starts in your pew Bible. Now when the king dwelt in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all of the enemies round about, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus, you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of earth. And I will appoint a place for my people, Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more, and violent men shall affect them no more as formerly. And skipping down to number 16. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. This ends the first reading.
Thank you, Tim. So I don't know if you're aware, young people, whether you are here or watching virtually on Facebook or on Zoom, but keeping an eye, sort of navigating the Murata family is a full-time job. Not just because John, Mark, and Emma are in that house, which is a full-time job to navigate them. They're teenagers, right? But at least one of their parents who is with you today and talking, managing him can be a full-time job. Just look at the window in the manse as you leave today. So we have a broken window. So at any rate, it can be a full-time job. And so anybody who has to manage us or keep an eye on us or just watch over us, I say a special prayer for them every year because, like I've just said, we're a full-time job at times. Such is the story that I want to share with you just briefly of our little friend in the house, Alice. Every November, end of November, Alice shows up. John Mark's eyes just got really big, like, oh no. Every Every November, Alice shows up. And she does strange things. We found her in the refrigerator. We found her here. We found her there. She's been sled riding down the banister and done all sorts of stuff, our little elf, Alice. She watches us, but it's a full-time job watching this family, as evidenced by the fact that I put a stick through a window yesterday by accident, and I got to fix that now. So she gets worn out, I have to imagine, watching over us, making sure we're behaving ourselves and doing all of those things. And then and then as we get to the end of the Advent season, and it happened this morning, or at least last night, or whenever it does happen, Alice apparently blows the air out of her cheeks, rolls her eyes a little bit, and goes and plops herself down in the nativity set. And that's where she'll sit for the next several days, watching us. When we get too worn out, when our spirit feels a bit bruised or crushed, even if we have a sacred job like our little elf Alice has, perhaps the way to manage through that is to plop yourself down in front of the nativity and notice the reason for the season of Jesus. In the midst of all the hustle and bustle, my feet are killing me because yesterday, after John Mark went Christmas shopping with his girlfriend and Emma went to work, Jennifer and I had some things we had to take care of, and we were going to go out to dinner and do all these things, which ended up being drive-through at McDonald's. That was a bad idea, to say the least. And in the midst of all that hustle and bustle, all of those expectations that are there, young people, plopping myself down in front of Jesus, like my little elf Alice has reminded me, maybe that's a way forward for us as we get closer to the incarnation. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for bringing us before you today. As Christmas is right around the corner and the joy that Christmas morning brings for the incarnation and for gifts and for all of that that happens with family, Lord God, be with us and watch over us. And as we spend time this morning in your word, hearing more of your story and of the incarnation, speak to our hearts and to our minds in Jesus' name. Amen. For the final Sunday in Advent of this year, I'd like to take you to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, found on page 887 and 888 in your pew Bible, if you choose to follow with me this morning. These will be words that you've heard many, 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 many times before, but I invite you as we listen to them to let the Holy Spirit speak to you in a new way. It is again Luke 1, 26 through 38, found on 887 and 888. And it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no husband?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your kinswoman Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, for she was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Holy God, we are thankful to be before you this morning on this fourth Sunday of Advent. With the joy of Christmas right around the corner, the blessing of the incarnation upon us, as we stop now and consider these words, speak to our hearts and speak to our minds, that as we finish this year's Advent journey, we may finish it with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but as a Protestant, I often struggle with what to do on the fourth Sunday in Advent. Depending on the year that we are reading from, the lectionary will take us down one of three pathways through the gospel in Advent. We will always read the birth narrative, certainly, but each year we may read it from Matthew's eyes, through Mark's eyes, or this year through Luke's eyes. But the ultimate destination, regardless of how we start in Advent, Matthew, Mark, or Luke, is always we end up in this moment at the stable. But the path has a bit of a difference to it, if you will. On the fourth Sunday of Advent, whether it's in Mark or Matthew or Luke's voice, we are presented with the gospel reading from this story. On the fourth Sunday of Advent, we always are reminded about Mary, the mother of Jesus. We are drawn to consider her as we prepare to gather for Christmas Eve and sing our final set of Christmas carols this week. This is the one week of the Christian calendar where our Roman brethren and we in the Protestant church all gather around the same passage and we read it together, the passage of the Annunciation. And so today I want to draw our attention to specifically how the angel Gabriel addresses Mary. Not the promise of the Messiah to be born for her, which catches our eye, and you probably were able with me to go through in your head by memory as I read it. But I want to focus you on how the birth announcement, this Annunciation, begins. The language that the angel uses is important. Believe it holds great importance for us on our fourth Sunday of Advent in this journey year. Remember the words that I read with you today. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you, as one translation says. Or the NIV adds a little more to it. You who are highly favored. Either way, there's something special that God notices in the earthly mother of Jesus that bears your attention. That thing or that trait is what led God to single out this young girl for a special divine purpose that the entire Christian church on this Sunday of their Advent journeys always remembers and reads about. Today we're going to look for a little bit at Mary and her posture, her choice, and we're going to wonder how accessible that might be, what she did before God for us. To begin to think about this, let's again backtrack, as we've been doing throughout Advent together, into some history. So is some good Israelite history, because it frames what's taking place in the Lukean account. And as we remember that history, we might begin to notice a similarity between their history and what's going on now. A first conclusion that I can draw as I look back through the lens of Israelite history is that it is cradled, if you will, in the manger of exile. 500 years before Christ, the people of Babylon, as we've talked about twice now, made their long journey away from the promised land when they had no place to stay. While in Babylon, they remembered their sojourn thousands of years before into the deserts of Sinai as they left Egypt, leaving the home they had for a home they didn't know. No place to stay, to call home. The early Christians remembered those two great long journeys to Babylon, to Egypt. And they remembered how both times, when they had no place to stay, no home to reside in the midst of physical separation, they remembered that God found a way in the midst of all of those suffering moments, to bring them back to the promise. The early Christians continued to reflect on two more journeys. There was the journey in which Mary and Joseph, go to Bethlehem, which we're familiar with and we'll read about on Thursday. But in that one, no place to stay for them, was there? And there is the journey of Christ coming from God to us, to earth. The biggest one of them all, the biggest journey, the most important one that we have. But this one's different. While all of their history has led up to a moment where they've said, we don't have a home, either in the deserts of Sinai or in the Babylonian wilderness or in the city of David, there is a place to stay here. Mary shows a joyous human hospitality for the miracle of God's activity with her. These long journeys that the Israelites took taught them some great lessons, which we've spoken about already, and God's choice to be with them. In Babylon, Israel discovered that the God who brought them out of slavery in Egypt was the very same God who created the heavens and the earth. The Savior God was the Creator God, and He was the remembering God for them, even when they were so far away. The name for the union of salvation and creation in that context was Israel, home. The early Christians made the same discovery in reflecting on the coming of Jesus. As we have done in the church this season, they realized that God's decision to save us is written into the very fabric, the nature of our relationship with God. The conception of Jesus is an act of creation and an act of salvation, and at the same time, it is an act of finding us a way home to be with God. What starts as a long journey. A journey with no place to dwell, a journey of isolation, a journey of self-inflicted sorrow becomes an affirmation in this moment that God finds us in our personal spaces. Regardless of what that looks like, God gives us, creates for us a place to dwell. Salvation comes, even if all of our history says, I don't know how this is going to work out for us. That's the history that breathes into this passage. And so, as I think about the history of God with those Israelites, and as I remember the people who found themselves with no place to call home, who were exiles over and over again, repeatedly in their history, which can make them begin to define themselves as different, too separated, I am focused back on Mary and what makes her different. What causes God, as God looks down from heaven across the pantheon of creation, to say, that vessel, that person, that life is different, and I'm going to abide with that person. Because certainly her story shifts the entire narrative of all of history as Gabriel announces, you are highly favored by God. And so the longer I sit, and the more I think about this, the more I am forced to conclude, as I look and I look and I study and I wonder about Mary, what did she do? She didn't do anything. She doesn't say anything. She doesn't explain it away or address it, the problems Gabriel states intellectually with her. How is this going to happen? A wife without a husband to be come upon by the Holy Spirit and give birth? Mary just dwells in the moment. If we think of some of the history of the artwork of the Annunciation, Mary is always portrayed as sitting on her bed or on her pallet, just listening, hands folded in her lap. She's not offering anything verbally back to God when the temptation is present to try to explain it or figure it out herself. She doesn't say or do anything. While the Israelites in Egypt or Babylon were forced into introspection and decisions because of their choices and their actions, Mary sits in stark contrast to all of that. That posture, those choices before God. She says nothing. She does nothing. She dwells before God. She would have plenty of chance to complain or become confused later after Gabriel leaves. She would have ample time to complain or become frustrated because of the 70-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem that she will undertake in the final trimester of her pregnancy. But she doesn't. Ever. In neither case did she complain about what was happening or the promise that came to her. As Elizabeth and Zechariah questioned and debated the merits of what God was presenting before them when their own angel came months ago, Mary sits in contrast. Nothing. And here is the conclusion. She was favored or blessed because she did not overwork or overthink what God was doing in her life, her world, her culture. Instead, with doubt certainly creeping in her mind, nipping at her heel, Mary is only human after all. Her faith was resolute in what God could do for her and do in her. And in that moment, that was all that mattered. All of the history, all of the learning, all of the self-confidence and self-determination fails when we stand before God and just dwell there before the Lord. Mary did this. She left any potential baggage or the great history of her people, no place to dwell behind her. And she stood and dwelt before God and the promise being made. She gave room for God in her own heart. This choice led her to her being favored in a greeting by God because she was different, countercultural, if you will. The baggage comes from being a teenage girl to be found pregnant. It was laid aside for what God could do. All of it was pushed away. You may have a lot of baggage right now that you're dealing with. 2020 has presented us with a great deal of unanticipated suffering and struggle already. This has been a year unlike any other year. And we can try and we can cliche it away, make jokes about the struggle or comments about it. We can blame a larger entity or another person. But the struggle and the pain still sits there, still pushing in on you, still making us wonder why, still causing frustration, still causing us to lose even a slight bit of the hope that can dwell in us as we get ready for the birth of the Savior. Combine that with your emotional, spiritual, economic, relational, personal struggles, and the temptation can arise to do something so that you can fix this. We might even be so tempted as to tell God how to fix it ourselves. Exert some level of control over that which is ultimately uncontrollable. Lash out because the frustration is boiling over, and it's enough to run us ragged. Yet again, Mary stands in opposition to that mindset and posture as a witness for you today. Mary did nothing. Mary said nothing. I don't think Mary expected anything or demanded any entitlement be given to her. Mary lived as faithfully as she knew how, or as faithfully as she was taught and brought up. We only know this because of her unassuming nature and life. And because of this, God did not treat her as everyone else when the revelation was before her. God labels her as favored. I wonder how. With just a few days remaining until Christmas, you can move toward that openness that Mary had in her heart when Gabriel spoke to her all those years ago. I wonder if the history that you live with, the history that the Israelites had at times, your own history, could be suspended so that God can find a place to dwell in and with you. Mary reminds us, we don't have to say anything. I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to do anything. Instead, I abide before the Lord. And when I abide before the Lord, as Mary did, I am labeled as favored. Let us pray together. Loving God, we are thankful to be your church this morning. We are thankful to be gathered into this space on the fourth Sunday of Advent, in a year unlike any other year, but with a Messiah unlike anything else. And so as we get ready for Christmas, as we prepare our hearts for Christmas Eve, encounter us. Help us to lay aside all the baggage, all the history, all the suffering, all the things we know in favor of just dwelling where you are. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. In response to God's word, will you stand with me as you are able? As we confess in one voice the truth we have come to believe. Let us confess our faith I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This morning, as we continue in our worship together of Almighty God and prepare to gather around and be the church in intercession and in ministry, where have you seen God at work? Denise. Thank you for sharing that with us. We are saddened or disheartened to hear that Bruce had some health issues this morning, and we are glad to hear that he is being cared for well in the hospital. We are glad to hear that God is at work with the staff caring for him. We will keep him in our prayers this morning. Thank you. Where have you seen God at work, Bert?
In that little pamphlet, white pamphlet that we got.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing with us this morning about the Advent devotional. I'm glad it was a blessing to you on December 15th. The worship committee did work very hard to get it together this year. Where have you seen God at work? Julie.
I don't know how many people were able to get online and see this, but the Latino kids from around the world had a concert, Christmas concert last night. And it was on Facebook Live. First of all, it's a miracle that they could get all those kids put together and coordinated to sing live from their countries and answer questions that people had. But, the kids in themselves are just such little miracles. And,
they are.
I really miss them. But, so that was a really nice way to connect.
Thank you for sharing your story with us this morning of the Matsiko children on Facebook Live. I'm looking forward to watching that video. We didn't get a chance to do it last night, but I'm sure many of us echo your sentiments that we miss them. Where have you seen God at work? Tim.
My real story is about answered prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Sunday right after Halloween. When we had it was on Halloween morning that one of our neighbors nervous breakdown, or whatever, for lack of a better phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And she was at our house, and she was saying some really wild things, and I don't know what was wrong with her. And we asked for prayer for her that week, and I see her husband once in a while. That was the day she took the car, and she drove really fast. She was in a wreck.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the hospital, and truthfully, when I saw her that day, I thought she was not long for this world on earth. Anyway, so then I see her husband, and I'd ask him, and he said, she's still in the hospital. It's going to be a while. And I thought, boy, I don't even know what's all wrong with her. And
yeah.
I didn't seem to want to talk about it too much. But we've been praying for her every day.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the answered prayer. I saw her out walking the dog. You know, see, I know Tim Rush likes when I have a story that involves a dog. You know, so we're always out walking our dog. You know, we have a beagle here. They're very dedicated to that. But anyway, we're out walking the dog, and I couldn't believe my eyes. There was our neighbor, and she talked to me, and she had her dog, and she was 100% fine, and we had a nice little 2-minute conversation, and I didn't tell her how worried I was about her.
Sure.
But I think whatever was wrong with her, you wouldn't know it today. And she seems, God answers prayer. She seems back to her old self. And, so thank you, everybody, for praying.
Yeah.
To back then, and it worked.
Thank you for sharing with us this morning, Tim. We're glad to hear stories about affirmations of God answering prayer in the life of your neighbor, who things are kind of concerning or frightening back in Halloween, but seeing her out yesterday walking the dog, wonderful. Where have you seen God at work? I thank you for sharing with us this morning. I remind you, as we come to our time of joys and concerns, first we will keep Bruce in our prayers, as Denise reminded us, since he had passed out 3 times this morning before work. We will be keeping him in our prayers especially. Please also keep in your prayers Kay. She is at UPMC right now in the North Hills. And so please pray for her that the Lord would be with her. Her spirits are good, as they always are. And if you know Kay, you know that she'll start laughing on the spur of the moment. And she was laughing with me and, you know, chatting on the phone. So it was good to hear from her. But she could still use your prayers in this time. So please lift her up this morning. Do you have joys and additional concerns that you would like to share as a congregation? Sue.
I am proud to announce that my great-grandson Elijah was born on Thursday evening, and he and his mom are healthy.
Well, praise God. Congratulations to you and your family. And we will keep young Elijah, your new great-grandson, in our prayers, that God orders his steps and guides his life. Thank you. Are there other joys and concerns today? Then let us. Oh, Tiffany. Yep.
Prayers for my friend David Minto. He's in the hospital with COVID. And Frank's cousin, Rick Lockhart, is also in the hospital with COVID.
I caught Frank's cousin, who's in the hospital with COVID, and I caught Minto as the last name. I missed the first name.
David.
Thank you. David Minto is also struggling with COVID, so we will keep them in our prayers this morning. Steve.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my father, Richard, this morning. This will be the first Christmas, and I can't remember how long, that he and my mother won't be together in person. And I know it's going to be a real tough day for him.
Sure.
He's gathering with friends from their complex, and I know that'll help, but
we will certainly keep your father, Richard, in our prayers as he goes through his first Christmas when he and his wife will not be together. We will pray for them, certainly, for him. Oh, there's Julie.
Yeah, I just want to ask for prayers for a friend of ours who passed away from COVID just last week. His name is Vern Hauser. He's a retired Presbyterian pastor. And then I would also like to ask for prayers for our son Matthew, as he travels on Christmas Eve when it's supposed to be terrible, from Minneapolis to Pittsburgh to spend Christmas together.
We will keep Matthew in our prayers as he travels on Christmas Eve. May he be safe as he travels, of course. And for Vern's friends and family as he has gone to be with his Lord following his own battle with COVID. Thank you. Are there others this morning? Bert.
For some reason, God decided to keep my 98-year-old aunt on this earth. And she's very difficult to talk to. And she doesn't. She's an atheist.
Right.
I would ask that God show his presence in her life.
Then we will lean upon God, says God, and we'll know what to say. We will lift up your aunt Jeanette to the Lord today, and we will trust that God will show his presence to her, certainly. Are there other joys and concerns? Denise. Thanks, Tim. So it's Jacqueline who we're praying.
Jacqueline, yeah.
Okay, we will keep Jacqueline's friends and family in our prayers as went in for a routine procedure to have a port put in and did not make it through the procedure. So we will ask for God's comfort and care to be with her friends and family. Are there other joys and concerns? Tim. Yeah. We will keep the nurses and healthcare workers this holiday season in our prayers, certainly as they could have and maybe would have normally taken time off at this time of the year, but now it's not possible. So we will pray for you and pray for them. Are there other joys and concerns today? Then let us be the church. Loving God, we are glad to be together this morning. While it may be snowy and slushy out there, maybe slippery and still cloudy, that cannot dampen our love for you, the fire that burns in our hearts for you. The way we look out into such a gray world and see pops of your Spirit at work, dwelling, ministering, caring, supporting, healing, restoring. It gives us a reason to hope. It gives us a reason to celebrate. Even as our celebrations are muted at times because there is pain intermixed with that. So Lord, we lift up to you the needs and concerns of this congregation this morning. We think of Bruce, who passed out 3 times today while getting ready for work. We are glad to hear he's got good care. Good people are taking care of him at the hospital. Continue to watch over him. Help their compassion and their kindness and their love to be manifest in his life in restoring his health. We pray for Kay, who is in the hospital this week. Ask your hand to be upon her. She has been dealing with so much pain for so long, Lord God. We pray for healing in Kay's life. We join Sue and her family in celebrating the birth of Elijah, her great grandson. Be with him, be with his mother and his father. Watch over them this Christmas season. We pray for David Minto and Frank's cousin, both who have suffered under and suffering with COVID. We pray that you restore health, that you bring healing and strength back to their bodies today. That they would be able to be together with their families on Christmas safely and healthily. We think of Steve's father, Richard, celebrating his first Christmas without his wife and he together. Lord, we are glad to hear he will be with friends in his community and his complex. But warm his heart and his spirit with your love. Help this to be, as it can be, a time where he reflects upon you. Watch over him. Be with his family as they minister love and support in this time. We pray for Vern's friends and family, as Julie reminded us today, as Vern has gone home to be with you following a battle with COVID. We pray for grace. We pray for comfort and for healing. We pray for Matthew as he travels on Christmas Eve to be with his family here in Pittsburgh. Give him safe travels. Watch over him. Allow him to arrive safely here in the Pittsburgh area. And as he returns home, be with him. We pray with Bert that you show your presence to his Aunt Jeanette. For it has been a hard struggle with her. She does not believe. But we know you believe in her. You love her. So reveal yourself to her this Christmas season. We pray, as Denise reminded us, for Jacqueline's friends and family. Going in for what appeared to be a routine procedure, having a port put in, and things going horribly wrong. We pray for her friends and family that as they grieve with you. Watch over them this week. And finally, as Tim has reminded us, we pray for the nurses and the healthcare workers of our health system as a country, stretched to their limits, working extra shifts where they may have taken off time because of the holidays, now not doing so, so they can care for the needy in this time, those with COVID, those who are sick, those who need help and healing. Give them the strength and the stamina, and give them a special blessing this Christmas season. And as we continue this week, be with us, watch over us and protect us. And as we return safely on Christmas Eve to worship you, bring your spirit with us. Help us to feel you going around with us throughout our day. And hear us now, Lord, your children, as we offer you the first prayer which you've taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.